Hello, I'm Brennan House with a very important special end-of-the-year message. In 2016, we held the Worldview Weekend Rally free of charge in 10 cities and 10 nights. In 9 out of 10 cities, we had to bring out more chairs. We're planning to go to 23 cities with the free Worldview Weekend Rally in 2017. As you know, we produce many TV shows. But did you know that the TV show of Mike Abendroth, Justin Peters, Usama Dakdok, Tommy Ice, Mike Gendron, and Sharam Hadian, did you know that we don't charge them for that? We fly them in, we put them up in a hotel, we feed them, we film the program, we post-edit it, and we distribute it without charging them one dime. That's what we do. We set out a few years ago to become the world's premier biblical worldview radio and television network, and I think we've done that. The radio shows that we produce, such as Susan Heck's Bible Study for Ladies, we don't charge Susan for that. And the list goes on and on of our broadcasters for radio that we do not charge. So how do we pay for free radio, free TV shows, the production of them, the distribution of them, the bandwidth, the servers, the free radio and TV app, the free Roku channel, the free conferences, renting the hotel ballrooms? How do we pay for all that? One of three ways. Those of you that belong to the Worldview Weekend Situation Room, those of you that shop in our bookstore, and those that contribute to our Worldview Weekend Foundation. Did you know that 30% of our budget comes in every year, the last month of the year? That's why it's vital that we hear from you in the last month of this year with your year-end tax-deductible contribution to the Worldview Weekend Foundation. But you can also help us by shopping in our bookstore. We've expanded our bookstore with what we think are quality and necessary resources. Not only the traditional biblical resources that you're used to, but some new items we've added. You see, last year we had a substantial drop in our income as an organization. And we weren't sure for a while if we were going to be able to even offer free conferences, much less continue offering free television programs. We've tried in a very responsible way to generate the revenue necessary to cover free radio shows, TV shows, and free conferences. And that's why we're expanding our bookstore. You can do your shopping somewhere else. I know that. But when you shop with us, we think you're getting great resources that we're offering, as well as supporting our ministry. So we want to thank you for doing your Christmas shopping this year in our bookstore. So in conclusion, thank you for being members of the Situation Room. Thank you for shopping in our bookstore. That's a huge part of our general operating budget. And thank you for your year-end contribution to the Worldview Weekend Foundation. The website for the foundation is wvwfoundation.com. wvwfoundation.com. You can also give with a credit card through our phone number, 901-853-8792, 901-853-8792. You'll also find our mailing address on that website as well. Thank you again to all of you that have supported our work in 2016, and we look forward to continuing producing and distributing free radio, free television, and a free website, as well as free conferences in 2017. Thank you.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brennan House.
Welcome. Glad you're with us. Dr. John Whitcomb will join us here in just a few minutes for another installment of Ask Dr. John. But before we do, want to tell you about some things going on here, and let you know, and maybe you can pray for us. My mother and father-in-law are in from out of town, from northern Illinois, and we had a great Christmas day with them, Christmas Eve. Melissa made a wonderful meal, and Christmas Day, we had another great opportunity to be with them and visit and go to a really nice restaurant in town. It's kind of now our second year in a row to do that with them. And in fact, we even had the same waitress 2 years in a row, and she remembered us, we remembered her. And we had a wonderful evening with them and came back to the house and sat up and visited till almost 3 a.m. in the morning. Went to bed. Everybody kind of slept in the next day, yesterday. And then while I was sitting at the counter in the kitchen doing some work from the counter, my father-in-law and mother-in-law and wife were in there and all talking, and they're working around in the kitchen. And my father-in-law said, sat down in a chair, and we'd just been talking to him. And he said, I'm not feeling so well. Something's not right. And he sat down in the chair, and we began to ask questions about how he felt. And does your head hurt? Does your jaw hurt? You know, do you feel nauseous? You know, all the symptoms of heart. None of that, but just heaviness in the chest and from one shoulder to the other. And so I said to my wife, we got a blood pressure machine. Let's take his blood pressure. And we did, and the bottom number was quite high. And my wife, of course, knows all this kind of stuff. The numbers don't mean anything to me, but because I'm not up on that. But she is, having had a medical background as a medical social worker and being in a hospital, medical terminology and charting, she knew what this was not where it should be. And so I got a neighbor of ours who's a fine Christian and a medical doctor, and he walked over and he looked at him, and we took his blood pressure several more times and wait a few minutes, take it a few more times, and he said, yeah, this bottom number is too high. I think you guys need to go to the emergency room. So we did that, and we got to the emergency room, and it was packed. Christmas and the way I guess they're doing hospitals these days, everybody goes there for a cold. It wasn't long because of the condition. I pre-called in advance that he was coming, and they got him in with an EKG right away, and that looked pretty good. But he has a pacemaker, so that was throwing off some of the numbers. So they put him with an IV, and they put him out in the waiting room, where he proceeded to pass out. And, of course, that wasn't good, obviously. And a group of doctors and nurses came and got him and worked on him. And they moved him to a private room in ER. And he came back around, and we sat with him visiting for, my kids and wife and I and my mother-in-law visiting with him for probably an hour or so. He was joking around and smiling and telling jokes and talking about family stories and whatnot while we were waiting on some more blood work tests to come back. And then he said, I'm starting to feel like I did when I was out in the foyer. So we went and got the doctor, and sure enough, he started crashing and blood pressure drops. From then on, it was not good from then on. And they just weren't sure what was going on. And at one point, the numbers were not good. And I'm not a doctor, but I got where I could read the monitor and see what was going on. And I'll tell you something I learned, folks. I'd always heard this, but I'd never had experienced it. When you have a family member in the hospital, you have got to always stay with them, someone, to be their advocate. Because I'm telling you, on several occasions, politely but firmly, we demanded certain things right then. And at one point when his numbers were dropping and I knew something was up, because he told me, he said, I think I'm going to have an episode like I did. The doctor had left the room. The poor ER doctor is bouncing from room to room to room. And I literally am watching him. I stepped out in the hall and I'm watching him go from room to room. And I realized this doctor is got his hands full. And so when I went back in the room and he started having his issues again and I saw what was going on with the numbers, I went out the hall and got a nurse, and she came in, and but she wasn't moving fast enough for my from my point of view. And so I walked back out in the hallway and just simply said, where is Dr. So-and-so? And the lady pointed in the hall. I went and physically got him and said, you've got to come with me. And, boy, when he got in that room, though, he then began to give orders and things started happening. Now, the point I'm making is this. This poor doctor is bouncing around from one room to another room, doing the best he can with all of these people that are in there. But if you're not there as a advocate for your family member to say, no, the squeaky wheel gets the oil over here. Come on. My wife said later several times, I don't know what the scenario would have been if it had not happened here in this town versus in Northern Illinois, where I'm not sure they have the greatest of doctors from the experience that's my opinion, from what we've dealt with in the past. Here we had him at what we believe was the right place with some of the top doctors coming in. But also the fact that we were there, and my wife with her medical background, and me with my more aggressive, kind, but take charge personality, I don't know that anyone would have been there to be an advocate for him like this. And I've said to my wife for years, if I ever end up in the hospital, don't you dare leave me alone. I'm more committed to that than ever before. Because I can tell you, on numerous occasions, we were his advocate. Now, I'm not saying the medical professionals weren't doing their job. I'm not so sure it's the medical professionals as it is the way the system today is run, that these doctors must treat everyone, and all these people run to the ER with a cold because, of course, they're not paying for it. I pay a huge deductible to keep my premium down, so I basically got to have my right arm cut off before I show up, right? And most of you are like that as well. But we've turned our hospitals into a welfare system where people are sitting in the foyer with colds because they don't care. They're not paying for it. So they're sitting in the waiting room at ER for a cold, and they're clogging up the system. And the people that really need the attention of these doctors, and he's bouncing from room to room. And a lot of these people, some of them shouldn't be there. Or, of course, they need to bring in more doctors. But, again, it's a holiday. Hospitals are doing a hard time trying to turn a profit, and they are a business. I get that. Some of them are nonprofit, but they still got to, at the end of the day, pay their bills. And so you got to have a family advocate. So at one point, it was not looking good at all. And I'll tell you something that shocked me, too, about this whole thing. A couple things. Number one, the importance of being your family's advocate at all times. Number two, what shocked me was, they never told the family, clear the room. Now, my wife and mother-in-law and two of my kids stepped out. But my one son and I, we stayed in there. We were talking to him, holding his hand and comforting him and just kind of helping him as far as we could emotionally. But they never once said, you got to go. I don't know if that's a new way of doing medicine, but I have to say that was pretty impressive because he was very aware we were there and commented about it. So that was impressive. In past days, I think they cleared the room, but they didn't do that. That was shocking to me that no matter what was going on, they never once said, you got to get out. We followed him down to CT and to the door, and then, of course, we stopped there. And then they brought him back out and put him in the room, and we're waiting on the surgeon. While all this is going on, I'm texting with my sister-in-law up north about what's going on, and she's packing to come this direction with family. I'm also texting with friends of mine who are in the medical profession, trying to find the top surgeon and the top cardiologist and the top doctor that deals with pacemakers and everything. And so the professionals at this hospital were asking us, who do you want as a cardiologist? When we started naming some names, a couple of them looked at me and said, boy, you're picking the best of the best. I'll tell you something else, too. That told them we knew what was going on and we knew who the best were. And if you go in with your information and know who the best doctors are and they know you're picking the best doctors and you're doing your research and they can hear you're on the phone talking to other medical people in town who are giving you the advice of who to call because they're in the medical field or they put in pacemakers, they are in the ER with doctors for heart surgery, one of my friends. You also, I think, see a little bit of an understanding from them that these people are being his advocate. Again, I'm not saying they wouldn't do what they need to be done if the family wasn't there. But what I am saying is these poor folks in that ER are stretched to the limit. And when a family member is in distress and the family is doing their part and doing their job as a family advocate, I think it makes a huge difference. Huge, because we saw it firsthand in ways I won't explain. In ways I won't explain, I can tell you firsthand things that happened that if we hadn't been there was not good. And that's, again, not a commentary on the professionals. It's a commentary on the system and the system that is broken and overused and not set up from an administrative point of view correctly. So that shocked me. And then it shocked me how well everyone did. If someone had told me in advance what was going to happen, the seriousness of it, the touch and go of it, because at one point the doctor turned to me and said, we're waiting on the surgeon, we're waiting on the surgical team. My concern is, can he make it long enough for them to get here? It was that touch and go. There was a couple times we were convinced he was gone. I had the chance to pray with him. It was amazing how he would come in and out, but he was very aware that we were there and talking to us. And if someone had told us in advance, this is what you're going to go through, I would have said, my wife, who, well, although she has a medical background, it's different when it's your own family member, and she's super close to her dad, I would have thought, no, she can't hold up under this. She'll be beside herself. And my mother-in-law would be beside herself. No. It was like somebody dumped up backed up a dump truck of grace. And I was just stunned at how this went on for hours and how well everyone did. And when he was finally moved into surgery, again, at one point, they called my wife's cell phone from in surgery and said, the doctor's coming down to talk to you guys. He hadn't been in there 10 minutes. And I looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and I said, that's not good. If they're coming down to talk to us after he's been in surgery for 10 minutes, the doctor's coming down. Well, then they didn't come down for 30-some-odd minutes. And I think, what is going on? But everybody held it together, and it was amazing. So the grace that you get as a believer when you need it, that was just on display. But also God's sovereign providence to be where he was, when he was. Because my wife said again this morning, I'm not sure this would have turned out the same way if he had been at home versus here with these doctors, with this hospital system, with us attending to him immediately as we did, not delaying, and then us being advocates for him and getting him the best cardiologists and the best doctors, it could have been different. And the thing is, they really weren't supposed to be here because of another issue with my mother-in-law's health. They canceled this trip, and it shocked the entire family when they said, we're going to go down and spend Christmas with Brandon and Melissa. We were all stunned. Family members, sister-in-laws were all saying, I can't believe they're going to do this. Because of a health issue that had arisen with my mother-in-law. It just showed me that God had providentially had them here when he did. So he had blood around the heart that had to be drained. It was drained. He's in ICU. My wife spent the night up there. And after this broadcast, we're going back up. Lots of family, some family members, my wife's sisters, drove through the night with some of their husbands and kids. They're here, and we'll go up there after we get off the air. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Have you appreciated all of our free radio shows? How about our free television programs? How about our free app for iPhone, iPad, and Android? Or how about the free Worldview Weekend Roku channel? If you appreciate our broadcast ministries of radio and television, would you partner with us with a tax-deductible contribution to the Worldview Weekend Foundation? It's vital that we hear from you so we can continue to distribute free biblical radio and television programs. Your partnership through the Worldview Weekend Foundation is vital. Would you go to worldviewweekendfoundation.com right now and make a contribution? That's worldviewweekendfoundation.com. The shorter URL is wvwfoundation.com. That's wvwfoundation.com. If you prefer to send a check, you'll find our mailing address there on that website at wvwfoundation.com. You can also give with a credit card over the phone through our secure voicemail line, which is 901-853-8792. That's 901-853-8792. Thank you. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Weekend Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. Before we go to Dr. Whitcomb, let me just reiterate a couple things that I want to make sure you hear what I'm saying. Number one, if you're ever in a situation like this, do not be intimidated by the medical staff, doctors, anyone. You do not be intimidated. You be your family's advocate. You do what you need to do, what's in their best interest, and you get on the phone, if you don't already have your list of best doctors, you get on the phone with people you know that are doctors and surgeons and experts, and you get the best list of who you should be calling. And you should have that in advance. But in this situation, we didn't. Number two, you do not become shy about being an advocate for your family. If that means you walk down the hall, find out where the doctor is, and you grab him by the elbow gently and say, you need to come with me, we've got an issue, you do it. And he did. And we had to do that a couple times. And I'm not going to go into details for the sake of the privacy of my father-in-law, but I'm telling you, there was a couple times when if we had not been where we were being an advocate for him, it was not, it would not have been as good. And I cannot stress enough from personal experience, seeing it firsthand, watching it firsthand. I'd heard stories, and I'd always heard stories about how you need to be an advocate for your family member when they're in the hospital. I've now seen it firsthand. What a difference it can make. Huge difference. So, if you can learn anything from this, one, be an advocate for your family member. Do not leave them. You demand things and don't back down. Be nice. Be nice. but don't back down. That's your right. You're the customer. You're the family member. Number two was the grace that was provided for everyone when it occurred. And number three, the sovereign providential things that unfolded and have unfolded up to this point. And we don't know what's going on from here on out, but the providential thing, the way things came about, absolutely amazing. There's for the believer who understands the sovereign providence of God makes a huge difference when you go through things like this. Huge difference. Because we could see the fact that they were even here when they were not, the trip had been canceled to come here. The fact they were here. And then that they were here and we took them to the hospital. We did. The doctor that was available. I mean, I got on the horn and called one of my friends and said, here's the surgeon coming in. He said, I know him. I'll be in surgery with him assisting on Wednesday. You know, it's amazing who was available. In a state of emergency, you can't be too picky with doctor shopping. You've got to go with who's available and on call. Of course, you have the benefit of cardiologists and follow up with cardiologists coming in today and stuff where you handpick. And in fact, the ICU nurse said, who do you want as his cardiologist? And I said, this is who I want. And I, like I said, I'd already made phone calls and was finding out who was the best of the best. She looked at me and she laughed and she said, oh, good. I said, you like him? She said, oh, if I was needing a cardiologist, that's the first guy I would call. You pick the best. And I said, that's what I've been told. So, providence, amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, we'll keep you posted. We got to find out now what has caused this bleeding. And, there's, you know, he's still not out of the woods, but, we thought we'd lost him a couple times. And, but he's doing better this morning. And you continue to pray for him. We really appreciate it. And again, I hope some of the things that I'm sharing with you today will help you. Some of you know exactly what I'm saying. You've been there. You've experienced it. And you've seen the need to be an advocate and to not be intimidated and to do what's right for your family member. Some of you don't. And one day you will be in the situation I was in and you'll remember. And again, I think the key is to be kind, to be respectful, but to be firm and don't be intimidated. It makes a big difference. And so my wife stayed with him all night. And but I must say, the ICU nurse, amazing. Absolutely amazing. So these people are professionals, and so many of them work hard and do good and are kind, kind souls. And we ran into that with several of the nurses that were just absolutely as treated us like family. They didn't know us in the way they dealt with us. They were just super gracious. So these people that work in these hospitals and do this, that can keep their humanity about them, those people are special, special people. And I'm sure there are some of you in this audience are listening, and you are that way. Let me just say, families notice it. When you are so human still, even though you are doing something day in and day out that could make you more rigid and not as sympathetic, when you keep that side of you as a medical professional, let me tell you, the family notices it beyond what you can even imagine. So thank you. Dr. Whitcomb joins us for Ask Dr. John. Dr. John, thanks for joining us. Welcome back to the program.
Praise the Lord. A wonderful opportunity to listen to God speak to us in a time of deep need and deep, great opportunity to serve him. Praise the Lord.
I agree. Here's question one that folks have sent in. Do the seven churches of Revelation represent people of different nations, or do they represent individuals and their religions?
Well, as we open the book of Revelation, we say, Lord, help us to understand exactly what you meant by what you said. Because, praise the Lord, that wonderful book, that final 66th book of the Bible, begins like this. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must shortly take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John. Now, as we open that first chapter of the book of Revelation, we find that God is going to tell us some things about churches. Yes, these are seven churches that were in existence at the time when John was there in the first century A.D., some of these churches were strong and some were weak and some were in a state of disaster, spiritually speaking. But God says some amazing things Look at Revelation 1:19. Write therefore the things which you have seen, which refers to God's revelation of himself and his glory to John. Number two, and the things which are, and we shall see that that refers to the churches, and the things which shall take place after these things. So we have past, present, and future. Now, when we turn to chapter 4 of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 1, notice this. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Same words as we saw in chapter 1, after these things. And then we say, well, Lord, what is this? And he says, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Now, what are these things? Well, you notice the last church mentioned, the message to Laodicea, which was in very serious spiritual condition, like many churches today. He says in verse 22, the last verse, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, those are actual churches in a region that is called Turkey today, Western Turkey, where Paul and others had preached the gospel and the seed had been sown and people had believed and were born again and saved. That is a situation that existed in the first century. Now, you see, in the beginning in chapter 4, as we've seen, after these things, after he discusses about the churches, we see a whole new arrangement. It's called the Great Tribulation that lasts for 7 years. And in this situation, we see some amazing differences. The church is not here for those 7 years. This is what we may call an argument from significant silence. Now, again, notice that 3:22, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That is never again mentioned in these 7 years that follow. In fact, when we come to chapter 13, Revelation 13:9, we read this statement. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He doesn't say, you know, like he did before, to the churches. No, just hear. And I say, well, that's amazing. You mean the church is not even on the earth during these 7 years of tribulation? That's absolutely right. So I say, Lord, thank you for this amazing insight that you have given to us about how the future will unfold step by step, stage by stage, program by program. And I say, Lord, help me to understand what you meant by what you said about the churches, the seven churches of Revelation that represent the church age in which we now live, not the coming tribulation, not the coming kingdom. And I say, thank you, God, for helping us to see this.
That's the voice of Dr. John Whitcomb. His website is whitcombministries.org, whitcombministries.org. You can hear him each week on our website at worldviewradio.com through our free app. And you can hear him at 7:30 Sunday mornings on the BCY America Radio Network. Here's the next question that someone has sent in. What should our priorities be, Dr. John, in 2017?
Oh, my. Think of all the things that God tells us to do. This one is most encouraging to me. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. You say, but Lord, I'm just afraid of all the things that might happen, could happen, should happen. Wait a minute. Be anxious for nothing. Really? Well, what should we do? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And millions of Christians, and sometimes including myself, I confess that, were concerned, frustrated, fearful, anxious, and God says, just calm down, just sit down and listen to me. I have some things to tell you, and here's one of the things. The book of James ends this way. James, as we know, the half-brother of Jesus, who was the pastor of the great Jerusalem church, he said in chapter 5, verse 16, the effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. Effective prayer. Help me this coming, dear Father, to learn how to pray fervently, effectually, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, enabling me to speak to my God in the name of my Savior, by the Holy Spirit's enablement during this year. What else are we to do? Well, let's be a witness for the Lord. Let's find excellent gospel tracts that we can distribute to restaurants and stores where we visit, and that we can be, therefore, to some extent, a light, a little light in the darkness. Help us to recommit our dedication to missions to reach the whole world. You remember what Jesus told us to do, don't you? In the Gospel of Matthew, we end with what is called the Great Commission. And Jesus said in verse 28:18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, though I am with you always to the end of the age. Thank you, Lord, for that great commission. You're with us. We can't do it alone. You're with us to the end of the age to accomplish your will on this planet.
Dr. John Whitcomb of WhitcombMinistries.org, WhitcombMinistries.org, and we'll be back with more Ask Dr. John. I also apologize that we have not turned over some new radio shows for today and news stories and things. That's when you have a ministry that is run by one family and they have an emergency, that's what happens, but I will endeavor to try to get some new things up there for you today. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Justin Peters. One of the great blessings and pleasant surprises of my ministry of traveling and preaching around the world is how many people will walk up to me and tell me that they listen to my radio program on Worldview Weekend's website. I have had people in Canada, Great Britain, Norway, Australia, India, Brazil, and Uganda tell me that they listen to my programs. Last year, I was preaching in a small church in the Philippines, and a lady walked up to me and with tears in her eyes, thanked me for my teaching on Worldview Weekend. Little could I have imagined 5 years ago when I first met Brandon how God in His gracious providence would expand this ministry to which He has entrusted me through the ministry of Worldview Weekend. Anyone who knows Brandon knows that he is a hard worker if there ever was one. But what many may not realize is the tremendous expenses that are required to maintain the 24/7 streaming radio, the WVW app, Roku, purchase and maintain television cameras and all the equipment that goes along with that, not to mention the high cost of renting the hotel ballrooms at which he hosts his conferences, which are free. Additionally, Brandon carries my program along with Mike Abendroff, Chris Pinto, Usama Dakdok, Susan Heck, and all the others for free. People all over the world are being helped by the ministry of Worldview Weekend. No, God does not need Brandon, nor me, nor you, nor any of us, but He does graciously choose to use us both to teach sound doctrine and refute those who contradict it, per Titus 1:9. If you are able to do so, please consider financially supporting this worthwhile ministry with your tax-deductible gift. You may donate by sending a check to Worldview Weekend Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. You may also give by credit card by calling 901-853-8792. Or, if you prefer to donate online, please go to wvwfoundation.com. On behalf of all of us who partner with Brandon in this work, we sincerely thank you.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. I hope you'll consider joining us for the 14th annual Branson Worldview Weekend, April 28, 29, and 30, 2017. We had folks 2 years ago, I think, from 36 states. We have many people that have been there 6, 7, 8, 9 years in a row. One family, last year, 13th year in a row. They've been to every one. And but why do many people come back? Multiple years? Because they know exactly what a Branson Worldview Weekend is all about. It's a great Worldview Bible teaching conference. The speakers are there in person. This year we have an incredible lineup. Hope you can join us at the Branson Worldview Weekend. Full details at wvwtv.com/Branson. wvwtv.com/Branson. Dr. John Whitcomb is our guest today for Ask Dr. John. One of our listeners just sent over a message and said, I think it's providential that Dr. John's your guest today. Well, you're absolutely right, because I didn't have to do any show prep. I wouldn't have had time for that. And the fact that God providentially had Dr. John on our schedule today is something we should acknowledge. I think that listener has got it spot on. Dr. John is our guest. His website is whitcombministries.org. Dr. John, here's the next question. And by the way, folks, if you want to send in your question for our next installment of Ask Dr. John, it's info@worldviewweekend.com. info@worldviewweekend.com. Please put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. Okay, Dr. John, here it is. What will happen to America in the new Trump administration?
Well, I'm a citizen of the United States of America, and also in the state of Indiana, where we had a wonderful governor whose name is Mike Pence. Well, praise the Lord, he's now the vice president-elect of the United States. And I say, amazing what you did in your mercy to give us a man who believes, trusts in Jesus Christ as his Savior and isn't ashamed of the gospel. So I say, well, God's mercy. But wait a minute, even if for some reason or other Vice President-elect Trump disappears and Pence becomes the president, this is still not the kingdom. What do you mean, the kingdom? Well, Jesus told us to pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So whatever the present kingdom, government, democracy, nation might be on this earth, and we owe our allegiance to the government, don't we? The Bible, the New Testament says over and over again, we're to pay respect to our government, even if it's not as beautiful or righteous or holy or godly as we would like it to be. We say, our Father in heaven, yes, thy kingdom come. Now, friends, it's so sad today we still live under the administration of President Obama. And as you probably know, he has done a disastrous thing to the nation of Israel. Mm. So sad. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has accused President Obama of a shameful ambush at the United Nations, where Obama broke with past practice and allowed the United Nations Security Council to condemn Israel, to condemn Israeli settlements in the West Bank and in East Jerusalem, as Netanyahu called a flagrant violation of international law. And Netanyahu, of course, says he just is so hopeful that he can see a different president in the United States, President Trump. And I say, well, Lord, help us to see that something is happening. Something is happening in our international relation to Israel. When Israel is pressured, denounced, rejected, deprived of its perfectly obvious privileges and rights for its citizens, something ominous is going to happen in this world. We'll be talking more about that, God willing. And I'm saying, Lord, help us. Help us to be ready for amazing things to happen in the coming days as our government goes through these final agonizing situations that we've experienced under President Obama. God help us. God help us.
Well, I'm so glad you brought up the situation with Israel, because I'm sure our listening friends are wanting to know some thoughts on that from this broadcast. And we'll get into that more, Lord willing, later in the week with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. You're hearing the voice of Dr. John Whitcomb of WhitcombMinistries.org. He is a theologian, a pastor. I heard him speak in the 1970s when I was 10 years old, and he was in our home for dinner. And little did we know, years later, we would do over 100 broadcasts together. And we're thankful for Dr. John and his ministry, his website, WhitcombMinistries.org. Dr. Whitcomb, I keep getting, my aunt just turned 95, so I always get you confused with her age. Are you 93?
I will be, God willing, in June.
In June. All right. I always want to make you a year older than you are. All right.
Amen.
Here's the next question. When will the rapture occur? Will there be any signs pointing to it?
Okay. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said. I've always been amazed at this. In Matthew 24:36, the Lord Jesus said, but of the day, that is the coming of these kingdom things, but of that day, an hour, no one knows, as no human being knows when the rapture will be. Number two, not even the angels of heaven, they don't know, and higher than the angels, nor the Son, but the Father alone. What do you mean the Son doesn't know? Now, wait a minute, look where he puts himself. He puts himself above all human beings, above all angels, and next to the Father. But you see, dear friends, all kinds of things Jesus did not know and could not do because he set aside the independent exercise of attributes of greatness, not as deity, not as holiness, but his knowledge, his power. He couldn't even do things without the Father's enablement, you know. Over and over again it tells us that. But the Father alone, at that time, knew the day of the rapture. Now, of course, since Jesus died and rose again and went to heaven, he does know now. But during his earthly days leading to his death upon the cross, he said, no one knows that day. Now, friends, when we come to the book of Acts and the church age began, the disciples were still asking that question. They were just obsessed with this. When is the kingdom coming? When is all this going to happen? And so we read in Acts 1:7, and so when they came together, they said, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. So the point is this. Today, instead of sitting around wondering when the rapture is going to happen, we have to go out and tell the world about Jesus, like the Great Commission we saw in Matthew 28. So, friends, we do not know when the rapture will occur. Are there signs pointing? Well, of course, the signs are that things are getting worse and worse. Perilous times shall come, we're told by the Apostle Paul. And we're seeing terrible things happening in this world, which prepares us to expect, pray for, hope for, act in the light of the promise of his coming at the rapture when the church will be caught up, living Christians caught up to heaven, as the New Testament describes us, as you know, in 1 Thessalonians, and we shall be with him forever in glory. Praise God for that blessed hope.
Absolutely. Here's one, Dr. John, that someone sent in. What will happen to Israel immediately following the rapture?
All right, this is very significant. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 5, I have not often heard people referring to this statement of our Lord. Listen to this. John 5:43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Oh, really? Who's that? The Antichrist. Yes. Israel will turn to the Antichrist. Really? Well, friends, when you read in Daniel 7 about this Antichrist, you find out exactly what God is planning to accomplish through him. Really? Yes, now in Daniel chapter 7, we're told about this, about the 10 horns. You remember those represent the what we call the European nations, and all of a sudden it says here in Daniel 7, verse 8, when I was contemplating the horns, these 10 horns of that fourth beast, Rome, behold, another horn, a little one, came up among them, and three of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it. And behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth uttering great boasts. My. So when you go on in chapter 7 of Daniel, you find out all these terrible things he's going to accomplish. Yes. And you come down here and you find out that he will begin to persecute. He'll persecute God's people in 725. He'll speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One and intend to make alterations in times and law, and they'll be given to him for a time, times, and half a time. 3.5 years he'll rule the world at the end of the last half of the 70th week of Daniel. Now, friends, these terrible things that he will accomplish, we realize that he will go forth, yes, conquering and to conquer. And I'm sure you recall from Revelation where Jesus says, in effect, go. And you say Jesus launches the Antichrist? that's amazing. There is somebody in charge of this whole world, isn't there? So when we turn to Revelation 6, I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals and heard one of the four living creatures saying to us with a voice of thunder, come. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. And he will conquer what? Europe. He will take the army of Israel. I take him to be an apostate Jew from Daniel chapter 11. And I say, Lord, amazing things are going to happen. Yes, when that period following the rapture, namely the Great Tribulation, begins. And so he will take all those Israelis which are very well trained and very well equipped, and will conquer Europe and devastate those nations that hurt God's people Israel, as you remember, during the time of Hitler and even since. Amazing things are happening. Watch carefully.
Dr. John Whitcomb of WhitcombMinistries.org. We come back. We'll take more of your questions. WhitcombMinistries.org. If you want to send in your questions for the next program, info@worldviewweekend.com, info@worldviewweekend.com. Again, his website, WhitcombMinistries.org. I hope you'll stay tuned after this broadcast for another broadcast. It's called Crosstalk. Many of you know it. You've been listening to it for years. Some of you are new, and I want to make sure you know about Crosstalk. It's been on the air since the 1970s, America's original Christian talk program, up right after us at 2 o'clock Central. We'll be right back.
My name is Mike Abendroth, host of No Compromise Radio Ministry, and I want you to know that I'm thrilled to be on this network and on Worldview Radio. If you have benefited from this ministry or other ministries, would you consider a deductible contribution so we can continue the free broadcast ministry and radio ministry, television ministry at worldviewweekendfoundation.com. worldviewweekendfoundation.com.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. I have personally seen Branham's commitment to biblical truth and his passion for equipping the saints to contend earnestly for the faith. Branham has proven over and over again to me that he will stand for biblical truth and the gospel, even when it will cost him. Branham has counted the cost, and I can personally testify to the effectiveness and authenticity of the ministry in which God has entrusted to him. Worldview Weekend Foundation has a powerful and worldwide broadcast ministry through radio and television and through the free Biblical Worldview Weekends. I'm asking you to join me in the support of this ministry by going to the website worldviewweekendfoundation.org, and do that right now if you will, and make a tax-deductible contribution to this vital and biblical ministry. Thank you very much.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Dr. John Whitcomb's our guest for what we call Ask Dr. John. And I know many of you listen to this program a day late, and if that's the case, and you say, well, wait a minute, Crosstalk doesn't come on right after you because it's a podcast now, well, then you can certainly go to our website, worldviewradio.com, and listen to it there. We archive it there as well, worldviewradio.com, along with many other programs you'll find there as a Ministry of Worldview Weekend, Worldview Weekend Foundation. Dr. John, the next question is a great one. The question is, what is your position on dispensationalism? And that's a great question. In fact, on Christmas Eve, my wife made a wonderful meal, and my father-in-law was sitting to my left, and he and I got into conversation about the world and where things are moving, and he was saying, you know, my mother and father-in-law both were asking, how close do you think it is for the rapture? And I said, well, I can't set a date, but I can see certain things, you know, coming that give me reason to say it's near. We started talking about what's going on with Iran and Israel and Syria and Russia and all those nations and Ezekiel 38 and 39. And I mentioned, I said, you know, what's so important is that we understand dispensationalism. And that led into some more questions. And I said, well, there's going to be some amazing things happening in Revelation. And the question was, like what? I said, some things going on will be going on that are not going on today that will be going on then. And the question was, well, give me an example. And I said, well, how about angels flying across the sky preaching the everlasting gospel? And two witnesses in Jerusalem with fire coming out of their mouth and shutting up heaven from raining. I said, amazing things that are not occurring in the church age. But once the church is gone, we're not in the church age anymore. And those who become believers are now tribulation saints. We're in a new dispensation. And as I laid it all out, it made so much sense for them. And I said, so God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the way he chooses to operate, what he chooses to do, and how he chooses to do it, and who he does it through, changes. But that doesn't mean he changes. It's called different dispensations. And so I think their questions were spot on, and it helped them to understand why certain things don't happen today, why we don't have prophets today, but yet then we have two prophets, two witnesses in the period of Revelation. So I think dispensationalism, and I explained to my father-in-law, he said, unfortunately, though, dispensationalism is now looked down upon. We are the minority. And he said, well, what is the prevailing view? And we got into the prevailing view of we got to build the kingdom here. We got to build it now and bring it into play. But Dr. Whitcomb, dispensationalism, I know that's what you believe, but boy, this is not the popular view. And a lot of people that hold to this view get great criticism. But you also mentioned Israel already. And as I explained to my father-in-law, I said, you know, those who of us who hold to dispensationalism also believe God is not done with Israel. He will fulfill his promises with Israel. So I said dispensational versus replacement theology. The church has replaced Israel. That's the view. So dispensationalism, I think, is vital for Christians to understand and defend. Otherwise, they start spiritualizing the scriptures. I know you agree with that, don't you?
We discover by a careful study of God's word that there are dispensations, there are different economies, different systems that God has used from the beginning of the world to unfold, to display his mercy, his plan, and the great hope of what's coming. So the main thing is to keep Israel and the church distinct from one another. They're very different programs, different ways that God is dealing with these groups of people throughout the ages of human history. So we read, for example, in Ephesians 3, 1-5, that Paul says, now wait a minute, here's another dispensation coming. Are you ready? By revelation, there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before, in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Now listen, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles, and prophets in the Spirit. Well, what's new? Here it is. To be specific, this is Ephesians 3:6, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Amen. Now we have a new dispensation, don't we? that was never even dreamed of by the Jews before the day of Pentecost, and for several decades even they couldn't fathom, even Christian Jews could not fathom that there's a distinction between the church and Israel. So finally, of course, when Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70, that is the temple, by the Romans, it became obvious that God was not using any animal sacrifices anymore, not using the temple ritual. The church is a distinct program, which already, as we know, has lasted nearly 2,000 years. And God has made it very clear to us that there are other dispensations, you know, from the beginning of the world, the changes that took place before the fall and after the fall and after the flood, and the call of Abraham began a new dispensation with God's plan for Israel. And so we just say, thank you, Lord, for helping us to see that there are programs, there are time units by which you are working out your plan. Charles Ryrie, who, of course, wrote the Ryrie Study Bible notes, says, a concise definition of a dispensation is this. A dispensation is a distinguishable economy in the outworking of God's purpose. Dispensationalism views the world as a household run by God. In his household world, God is dispensing or administering its affairs according to his own will and in various stages of revelation in the passage of time. These various stages mark out the distinguishability of different economies in the outworking of his total purpose, and these different economies constitute the dispensations. So thank you, Lord, for helping us to see that there is a plan in the Bible whereby we may understand what God was doing, did do, is doing, will do in this world for his glory. So I say it's for the glory of God that we see the broader purpose of these distinctions in God's dealings with mankind. Amen for God's plan, God's purpose, and God's precious word.
Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. His website, WhitcombMinistries.org, WhitcombMinistries.org. I hope you'll send in your questions for the next Ask Dr. John. You can do that by sending in an email, info@worldviewweekend.com, info@worldviewweekend.com. Again, his website, WhitcombMinistries.org. Well, we're going to sign off the air now and head up to the hospital. And again, we appreciate and covet your prayers for my father-in-law, my wife's father. He's certainly not out of the woods yet. He is in ICU. And we'll keep you posted. And thank you so much for praying for him and our family. Till tomorrow, take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.
Hey, you guys, this is Chris Pinto. Many of you are familiar with my program, Noise of Thunder Radio, which broadcasts on the Worldview Weekend website with Brannon House. The great thing about Worldview is that it provides a unique environment for Christian ministries that take on tough issues in contending for the faith. At the Worldview Weekend website, believers are welcome to come and learn and be edified in a special way, providing a unique ministry for the body of Christ. Perhaps the best thing about what Worldview does is that it presents its radio shows, articles, and even most conferences free of charge. But to keep providing this service, the ministry relies on support from the body of Christ. If you've been blessed by the work at Worldview Weekend, we hope you'll think about making a contribution to the Worldview Weekend Foundation, a nonprofit organization that helps provide for these resources. You can make a one-time contribution or become a monthly contributor by logging on to the website at worldviewweekendfoundation.com. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.com. We ask only those who are able to help us all keep fighting the good fight of faith until our Lord returns.